Yes, he is. Great and mighty things he's done for us as we've been looking through those Psalms 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, what would have happened? But he is ours. He is the everlasting God. Number 82. Good morning. Good to see everyone today. Welcome as we come together to worship our God and our Father. This is the place to be in His wonderful presence. So, a couple announcements I have to go over before we go on with our worship service. We do have coffee hour today, right after church in the social hall. Hopefully you'll be able to join us for that time of fellowship. And Sunday school teachers, Christian Ed Committee members, this is in the bulletin, but this Wednesday night there are our meetings at 6:30 and 7:30. It'll be 3 weeks from today, September 8th, is Sunday school kickoff. And here we go. Confirmation classes start on September 4th. This Saturday, the Moore Appreciation Banquet is taking place down at Roosters. That's the Menno Olivet Resources for the Elderly. And this is at noon. You were supposed to call by this last Wednesday if you were coming, but I think a lot didn't. So you have today. You need to see Darlene Gehring today to let her know. They need a head count, okay? This is, as it says, senior citizens, anyone who's volunteered in the community in any way, you're welcome. Probably, is it roasted chicken? Yeah, always delicious. But I want to say a special thanks for the gladiolas here. Aren't they beautiful? Yeah, pink, so full. They come from Harriet Schaefer's garden. So thank you, Harriet, for sharing those with the church here. At Tuesday, ladies, there's a program, Women of the Care Center program in the afternoon. If you can come and help and just be there to visit with the residents. Tomorrow night's Men's Christian Fellowship here at 7:30. Let me see, the rest, one other thing that's not in the bulletin. So this front entrance out here, if you remember this last winter, we had to build that shelter, enclosed shelter, it was up a month or more for sure, because it had heaved so bad we could not open the doors. So I don't know if you all know that happens every single winter with one of the doors. This is the first time both doors have happened, and with all the moisture that has continued to come, probably going to look at that same scenario. So what is going to happen is, God willing, on the Tuesday after Labor Day, which would be September 3rd, the guys are trying, the plan is to take that cement out and put some rock in there and whatever, some insulation, an insulation pad. I can't explain it all. Ask the consistory and they can tell you more. Tie it in with rebar to the foundation, of course, re-pour it, and trust that that will take care of the issue. So if you're wondering what, if everything goes as we hope, it should be done by Sunday, the 8th, which is Sunday school kickoff. So just to let you know, there'll be a big project going on out front here, okay? Anne has something she wants to say quick.
Yes, I just wanted to remind the women, if you're thinking about joining us with a women's Bible study that is going to be held on Sunday mornings and during Sunday school time, and also on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m., and we have gotten a group together that is going to also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7. So if you're interested in any of that, the study is by Karen Eggman, and her the Bible study is on Philippians, What Matters Most. So we need you to sign up, though, out there, because we're going to be ordering books next Monday. So if you're interested, please sign up. We'd love to have you.
Okay, thank you. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we love you. We love to come together into your presence, to wait upon you, whether it's here corporately as a body of believers, whether it's during the week in our own prayer and devotion times. For as we've just sang, Lord, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. You are our God, the everlasting Father. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. And you lift us up on wings like eagles, all promises from your word through the prophet Isaiah. We love those verses. And we thank you for the strength that you give to us each and every day. And Father, we are here now to worship you, to express our love to you, to express our thankfulness to you for your goodness, for your salvation. For you, Lord God, the Ancient of Days, our Deliverer. And so as always, Lord, we ask for you to fill this sanctuary with your glory and your power and your presence, and move among us mightily, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn will be number 372, Our God Reigns. Let's stand together as we sing this, please.
Our God.
does. Praise the Lord. He rules and reigns. Sovereign over all the earth, in the midst of all the chaos that we seem to hear that goes on, our God reigns, and he has a plan. Please take a moment, greet each other before you are seated. David, Doug, Barry. Good morning, Connie. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. A few things I have written down. It's certainly a great joy to have Leroy Friesen with us this morning. God bless you and a lot of the family I see here. So that's exciting. Oh, do we have an anniversary or something? I see a flower. Granddaughter's wedding yesterday. All right, congratulations for that. Also, we got a 50th anniversary here yesterday, Larry and Connie Kirschman. Congratulations to them. Amen.
We thank God for as many blessings and answered prayer these 50 years as well, too. So, yeah.
Amen. Larry says they thank God for as many blessings and answered prayers throughout these 50 years. Yeah, God bless you. Okay, some other things. Prayers for Myrna Harebolt. She did make it today. That's wonderful. Probably sitting on a pillow, I'm guessing. She fell on Monday and broke her sacrum. So there's some pain that goes with that for sure, and it has to heal up itself. But so be praying for Myrna. And Elton, now chief cook and bottle washer, right? Yes. Continued prayers for Curtis Zabe. He did get to come home last Sunday after his surgery a week ago Wednesday, and he's coming along. Louis Fierst, he's still trying to figure out what's going on there with his falling and been running tests and really don't have an answer yet. He is in the Majestic Bluffs Care Center for rehab at this time. Tyler and Jenna Miller. Jenna had a little baby girl on Friday morning. Her name is Nora Joanne Miller. So 6 pounds, 18 and a half inches long. So congratulations to them. That's exciting. Let's see, we want to pray for school. At least in Menno, it starts tomorrow. Not sure about Freeman is middle of the week. Yep. Okay, Scotland tomorrow. Okay. All right. So prayers for all involved there. Anything else over here? Melanie. Alyssa Bent will be induced tomorrow. Okay. Is she there? You're hiding out, hi, Alyssa. Okay. All right, so prayers for Alyssa. We'll be having her baby tomorrow. That's exciting. Steve. Sherry Pressler has a special birthday today. He won't tell the age, but there's a 5 involved. Happy birthday. Happy 15, right. Yeah. Okay. Judy Headley has a birthday today. Laverne Wagner has a birthday today. Now, Laverne, I think, is 93. Is that right? Yeah. Happy birthday to Laverne and all of you. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Milo.
Yeah, I need prayers for Elder. She fell in the care center last night.
Oh, okay. Sorry to hear that. Milo's sister, Eleanor Quast, fell last night at the care center and broke her wrist. So we want to pray for her. Okay. Oh, Lee Heckenleibel. Yeah. Yes, Lee's asking prayers for these. There were four teenagers, young teenagers from Parkston, involved in a vehicle accident this week. Forget what. Huh? Yeah, one of the girls lost her life, right? So, critical condition, the others? Okay, yeah. So we certainly want to pray for them and the families. That's right. And safety for all of our young people. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in with Tyler and Jenna Miller and a little girl that you blessed them with, Nora, Joanne. And we just thank you that all went well and is going well. And hopefully they'll be able to come back home today from the hospital. And Father, we lift up Alyssa Bent as she's scheduled to be induced tomorrow morning. Thank you, Lord, as you've knit these little ones together so beautifully, so perfectly, as only you can do. And we trust for that to go well for Alyssa tomorrow. And we'll be excited to meet their little one as well and hear of the good news. Lord, we want to pray for Eleanor Quast. Sorry to hear of her fall and now a broken wrist. We lift her up to you and just pray. Is there surgery involved or no? Don't know. Okay. We pray for wisdom to the doctors here, Lord, as they make decisions on what has to happen. And just be with Eleanor, Lord, as it's probably hard for her to understand, too, what's going on. But we thank you for your healing power, already beginning the mending, Lord, in the bone or bones that were broken there. And then as well, we lift up Myrna Herbolt. Father, thank you for your healing power throughout her body, especially in the sacrum where that's fractured. As you mend that together, give her grace, Lord. Give her extra strength in these days and weeks to come with the soreness that's involved. For these recovering from surgeries, we thank you, Lord, that they're doing so well. Louis Fierst in the care center, Curtis Zabe, Ann, she's coming along so well. Judy Fierst as she recovers from her surgery, Lord, and others that were mentioned here. We thank you for these birthdays, Lord, mentioned today, for anniversaries, Lord, Larry and Connie of 50 years, and just thank you for them and their lives. We enjoy them so much, and continue to pour out your Spirit upon them and their families, Lord. For Leroy and Donna, we're thankful for the group that they have here today with them after celebrating a wedding yesterday. And we ask your blessing on that couple. My niece, Abby, as well, was married yesterday. And we thank you for blessing them, Lord, each of these families. Father, we want to lift up our nation as we do every day, asking you and thanking you by faith for what you are doing by your Spirit, the power of your Spirit, pouring out your Spirit upon us, returning us to our roots, the founding of our nation upon your word. We need revival so desperately. We pray for our leaders, Father, our president and vice president, our congressmen and women, Lord, in D.C. and in the local levels and state levels. Guide them, Father. Let them be led by your Spirit. Father, even we know from your word, as we see in the Old Testament, kings of ungodly lands and nations that didn't even know you, you still worked your purposes through them for Israel at that time. And so we trust you in that today. We lift up our troops, Father, as they serve at home and abroad. Guard them, all these names listed, and so many thousands and thousands more who are separated from their family. Keep them safe as we pray the blood of Jesus Christ over them. Lord, for Travis Gramko, who's receiving a reward in the Navy here in a couple weeks, thank you for blessing him and all that he does as he serves full time in that capacity. for, Lord, the whole, what shall I say, Father, the whole weather situation in our region. Who would think that in the middle of August we're not really wanting so much moisture, but that's where we're at. And you know the struggles that affect the whole region, all the businesses even that deal with the ag economy and everything. Lord, we look to you for help and strength. We look to you for showing creative ways through this very difficult year. Father, we fix our eyes upon you, O Lord, who are enthroned in heaven. For school, as it starts here tomorrow in our community and other days as well in the communities around us, we thank you for the teachers as they prepare for the children and youth to come. For everyone that works at the school, the cooks, the custodians, Lord, the bus drivers, keep them safe as they transport our young people back and forth. And Lord, we thank you that in our schools we can proclaim boldly the to be put upon the walls, "In God we trust," in our state of South Dakota. What a blessing that is. We pray for these four young families, Lord, of these teenagers that were in this accident in Parkston earlier this week. The one that lost her life, Father, be with her parents and family and loved ones. The other three, we don't know the details, but you know each of them by name. You know the injuries that are involved, and we lift them up to you and ask for a healing touch to their bodies. Lord, thank you for these things and so much more that we have to lift before your throne. You know all of our needs, and we thank you that you hear and answer according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We have some new members to receive here first before we receive our offering. So if Lee and Mary Heckenleibel and the kids, you want to come down, and Trevor Monkfold and Nicole Weiss, you can all make your way down here, please. This is always an exciting time in the life of our congregation. Just stand here in the front facing the congregation, please. Some of you probably know all of these, some of you don't, so I'll give introductions as if you don't. So Lee and Mary Heckenleibel here. Lee, of course, grew up in this church. A lot of you knew him as a little guy, tearing around out there in the social hall. And now he's got Skyler. So Lee works at Vermeer in Freeman now as a material handler. And Mary, his wife, works at the Freeman Hospital in accounts payable. And they have Skyler, who's three years old. He'll be four at the end of August, okay. And Grace, who will be 5 months old tomorrow. Yep, and we're going to baptize these two on September 1st coming up. So, and I actually had the privilege of doing their wedding in October of 2007. Yes. And Trevor and Nicole here, Trevor Monkfold, of course, grew up here at Menno in our school, and they live in Lesterville, and they're going to be getting married on November 2nd, right here. And Trevor works at the co-op in Lesterville with the propane, mainly, right? And then they have Trev's Corner there, where you can go and eat on Thursday through Saturdays, I believe. And Nicole works at the Human Services Center in Yankton as a therapeutic recreation specialist. Do I have that right? Yeah, and she comes from Pipestone, Minnesota, Nicole Weiss. So we're excited to have all of you here for us. So I have the questions that you know you've read through them that I'm going to ask you first, and if you're in agreement, you can respond with a "we do." Okay? So first, do you acknowledge and profess that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, "We do." Second, do you promise to be Christ's disciples, to follow his word and his will for your lives, and to resist evil and oppression in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. If so, answer, we do. Third, you promise, according to the grace given you, to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating his presence and furthering his mission in all of the world. If so, answer, we do. And fourth, you promise to participate in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this congregation as it serves this community and the world. If so, answer, we do. All right. Let's have a prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these two couples here, for Lee and Mary and their children, Skylar and Grace. Lord, for Trevor and Nicole, as they will be getting married in just a couple few months here, Lord. Thank you that you brought them to this congregation. In Lee's situation, you brought him back home, and here he is with his family. Trevor and Nicole, thank you that you brought them here to worship with us, to serve with us, Lord. Bless them in their lives, the busyness of their lives, with their jobs. Father, give them strength and health and increase their love for you, we pray, each and every day, and their love for each other, and their love for your word. Help us, Lord, as a congregation, to reach out to them, to befriend them, Lord, to help where we can. And we thank you for the gifts you've placed within their lives, as we will be excited to see them unfold and grow before us in this, your church, in Jesus' name. Amen. There will be a reading here. There'll be a place for you to respond, okay? Let us, the members of Salem Reformed Church, express our welcome to Lee and Mary Beckenleibel, to Trevor Mungfold and Nicole Weiss and their families, and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. We welcome you with joy and crown the life of this church. We promise
you our
Christ, and on behalf of Salem Reformed Church, we do extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church. Welcome. Let's give them a hand. Welcome. Welcome. Let me give you your cards here. There you go. There you go. Okay, thank you. God bless you. You can be seated. Now we'll prepare to receive the offering this morning. I want to read from Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. It says, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." We'll receive the offering, and in place of the doxology, we'll sing the Lord's Prayer this morning.
Thank you.
stand, please. As the music was played to 10,000 reasons, Lord, we know we have that many reasons and beyond to praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness of life and health and strength and family and our salvation and most of all, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and your living word that you give to us. And on we could go. And Lord, we bless you with these gifts, our tithes and our offerings this day, with joy in our hearts, cheerfully giving, knowing that you are the faithful one. In spite of what we face in this earth, in natural things around us that change like shifting sand, but Lord, let our lives be built and established on the rock. That when the storms come and the rains and the winds beat down, that we stand because we are standing in you and upon you and your living word. So Lord, take these gifts, these offerings and tithes, and multiply them, we pray, for the work of your kingdom in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And the children can come, please, for the communion this time.
Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. Good job. How are you today? You're quiet. Are you a little sleepy? No. Are you excited about tomorrow?
No.
No? Oh, yes, some of us are excited. Well, tomorrow is some of your first day of school. And, you know, a lot of times we always say, what's in your backpack? And a lot of times you've told us what things that are in your backpack. Come on and sit down. It's all right. Here we go. Come on, you can come up here. Anyway, I thought today we would find out what's in a teacher's school bag. You know, your teachers all have a school bag, and guess whose this is? Not mine. Rachel's, that's right. It's Rachel's teacher bag because she's going to be some of your teachers up here. Anybody, one up here, I see that she'll be your teacher. Anyway, so when we look into her bag, we're going to see what are some things do we find in a teacher's bag. Let's see here. Oh, boy, what do I have here?
Suckers.
Sometimes your teachers might have some treats in your bag, in their bag, and candy. And then when I think about it, I'm going to relate all of these to God and some scriptures. In Psalms 119, 103, it says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Candy, right? Some other things. Let's see, what do we have in here? Oh, we have some kind of rewards. Maybe you've done well and you can pick it from a prize box, and there's all kinds of things in here that she has for her students when they do really well, and they get to pick a reward, right? And you know what the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, right? And the reward is that it says you're going to live long and live well. That'll be good, right? All right, let's see what else we have in here. In this teacher bag. Let's see. Oh, I have some. She's got some things in here that looks like she might be putting on some of your desks when she sees that you're doing a good job. And she tells you that you're terrific and well done on everything. And you're awesome. And you know, boys and girls, in the Bible, it tells us in Matthew 25, 23, that God, if we've done all that he tells us, wants us to do, he'll tell us, well done. Well done for doing what God's wanted us to do, right? All right. Next, we find the teacher might have some extra supplies, right? Because sometimes the students forget their pencils or they break their letter, whatever. So your teacher will have supplies. And you know what it tells us in the Bible in Philippians 4:19? God will supply all of our needs. Those are all cool things. Well, the last thing I have for you is that in the teacher bags, there's often they take home their curriculum. They take home the book, the teacher book. This one's social studies. So they can study and plan for their days and their weeks ahead. And do you know what, boys and girls? What does God give us? The Bible. In Psalms 119:105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So when you go to school and your teacher shows you things in her bag, you remember how we related those to God. And remember that you're never going alone there. He's going to be with you, and he'll help you with everything that you need. All right? Let's pray. God, we just thank you for these boys and girls and for the schools and the teachers and all those who help, Lord. We just thank you for blessing these boys and girls, helping them to have a great first day tomorrow. Thank you that they know that you will be with them, that they won't be alone. And if they're scared or if they're worried, that just comfort them, we ask, the Holy Spirit, to comfort them, every one of them, and help them to be a light wherever they go for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I got a couple of things for you to go back to school with. One is a sucker, so you can pick one sucker, and then you get, speak God's word. You can make this into a megaphone. Here you go. Just take one sucker, and then that, and then you can go back. Go back. Here we go. You can go get a paper over here, I think. Go to Denise, and she'll give you a paper, okay? Here you go.
Okay, while the children are going back to their seats, we'll sing number 149 from the hymnal, Ah, Lord God, and this comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 17. Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth. Nothing is too hard for you. We'll sing it through twice. Power. Let's bow our heads in prayer once more, please. Heavenly Father, as you spoke through your prophet Jeremiah, as we've just sung, Lord, ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and nothing is too difficult for thee. We know that to be true. Your word tells us that again and again. You are our deliverer, our redeemer. And so as we look into your word, Father, once again today, let it be life to us. Father, let our focus be upon you and your word, and not, Lord, help our thoughts to be centered there and not everywhere else of what's coming up today or tomorrow, but on you. And as your word that is anointed and alive and full of power as it goes forth, let it work in our hearts and our minds, that we can be doers of your word and not just hearers only. So, Father, I ask for you to speak through me this day by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 126, I see I missed that in the bulletin there. I have 125 still. We are on Psalm 126, verses 1 through 6. And then the Psalms of the Ascent, that's what we're working through. It says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said, among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Amen. Psalm 126, this is the seventh of the Psalms of Ascent out of 15, right? They're found in Psalm 120 through a Psalm 134. 15 of them. We've gone through them all. I'm only going to start back to 124 in review just briefly because of the time it takes. I can't go through everyone every Sunday, right? But it's good to learn it. Learn at least the first verse, if you can, of each of them. You'll see the progression you're taking, stepping up, each a step higher. Psalm 124 is a song of victory, as we've said. It starts out, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, okay, you're Israel, remember, so I'm going to start again. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, oh, thank you for the five who said that. All right, let's try that again. Come on, you can do better. Pretend you're at a basketball game or something. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, a little better. We must, okay. Yeah, when men came against us, what would have happened? We would have been devoured, and the verses go on there. But he is on our side, and we can rejoice in that. Psalm 124, they're looking past, back to the past of things that God has done. Psalm 125, last Sunday, we're looking to the now and into the future, and it starts out... Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. That's Israel, okay? Jerusalem. Are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. That's the future tense of it. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. And so because we know what God has brought us through in the past, in 50 years of marriage, as Larry and Connie celebrated yesterday and spoke about God's faithfulness and blessings, then we know that he's going to be faithful now and into the future. So Psalm 126 today is a psalm of deliverance. And we see what are the results of God's deliverance, his power in our lives. We see it in this psalm, and we rejoice in it. So the first result there is great rejoicing. Verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. Great rejoicing. Look what he says. When the Lord God brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. So again, Zion, when you see that, brought us back to Zion. You got to remember that's Jerusalem, all right? So where were they captives? They were captives over in Babylon. Sorry. For 70 years, they had lived in exile in that foreign country. They had been hauled off there by King Nebuchadnezzar. And why? What? I wrote references there, Jeremiah 25, the prophet Jeremiah and others. They were warning the people again and again when they were still in Israel or Judah, as they were called, the two tribes. God was telling them, you got to get rid of the idols. You got to get rid of the sinful practices, the sacrificing of your babies, the rebellion, the disobedience to my word. Over and over, God was warning them, and they were not listening. Jeremiah 25, verse 8 says, therefore, the Lord Almighty says this. He's talking to them before they went into exile. Because, listen, sounds like our world today, right? Where we're at, if we are not careful, God is speaking this to America. Because you have not listened to my words, I will summon the peoples of the north, and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants, and all the surrounding nations, and I will completely destroy you and make you an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. Doesn't sound good, does it? It was not good. He says to Israel, this whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. He spoke it out so clearly, and still, most of them did not like prophet Jeremiah or the other prophets of God. I mean, they beat him, they put him in jail, they mocked him, and everything else, and went on their ways. Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11. Jeremiah 29, 11. Boy, that's a popular verse today. Gotta look at the context of it here. Verse 10 says, this is what the Lord says. When the 70 years, he's telling them again, are completed for Babylon, anyway, in other words, the exile there, I will come to you and I'll fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place, to Israel. Here's verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, it's what he's talking about, from Babylon. 70 years is a long time. 70 years is basically all of our adult lives. If you figure it, if we live to 90, that's, you know, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were just young teenagers when they were hauled off there into exile. Young. They would have some recollection. Think of all the kids that were born over there. The rest part of the prophecy as well says, God told them, when you get over there in Babylon, again, he's told them several times, you're going to be there 70 years. And you know what? It was exactly that. Exactly that. History records it. He said, you need to settle down, build homes for yourselves, get married, have families, pray for that country that you are in as exiles, because if they prosper, you prosper. That's what he told them. So you have a whole bunch of people after 70 years who never even had lived in the promised land, didn't know the blessings of it, the land flowing with milk and honey as it was when they came in. You know what? What about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Shows the importance of teaching our kids God's word. So important. And they did. Those parents of those and other young ones, young guys, young girls, did, because when they were hauled over there, you know the stories. First, no, you got to eat the king's food. No, that was against their dietary laws, wasn't it? And they stood their ground. No, we're not doing it. Okay, you got to pray to the statue, right? Got to bow down, kneel down, the three, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We're not bowing down. No, we are not serving other gods. God always has a remnant of his people who are true to him and his word. He has always had through history. He always will have. And they stayed faithful. And they taught the scriptures of the Old Testament when they were over there in Babylon all those years. 70 years. What it says, when they came, when the Lord God brought them back to Israel, to Jerusalem, we were like men who dreamed. What's that? Almost like, I cannot believe this is happening. This is almost too good to be true. We are actually going back to our homeland. Can you believe it? Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. I think at different times through scriptures, I think of Acts chapter 12 there. This is when Herod the king and was greatly persecuting the church. And if you read that, first he had James, the apostle James, the brother of John, says he had him put to death with the sword, in other words, beheaded most likely. And it made the Jewish leaders happy. And when he saw it pleased him, he had Peter arrested, thrown in jail, kept by four squads of soldiers. A squad meant four soldiers. So four squads of four soldiers each, being watched round the clock. He was in stocks and chains in that dungeon. And you know, in the middle of the night, you remember, here comes an angel. Peter's sleeping. Taps him. Need to get up. His stocks fall off his feet and the hands, the chains, and he says, follow me. And Peter's getting up out of this sound sleep. And verse 9 there, he leads him all the way out, and it says, Peter followed him, the angel, out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision or a dream. Great deliverance, right? Remember then how that goes on. He goes to the house where the other disciples were gathered, and he's pounding on the door, and the servant girl goes, who's there? It's Peter. I'm out. Oh, she can't even believe it. She runs back. She doesn't open the door. Runs back to the disciples. Peter's standing at the door knocking. He can't be standing at the door knocking. He's in jail. He is. He says he is. They go, and it's him. We're like men who dream. Some of these great deliverances, it's like that, isn't it? When you see God move in a way, when things look so bleak and impossible, and you see him move in a way that you never could have guessed if you would have tried to figure it out. And we do, don't we? We try to figure it all out. And God still has his way because he's faithful. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. We need that. We need that. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Proverbs 7:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, right? But a broken spirit saps or dries the bones. Thinking back different times, and some of you heard this one before, most of my Navajo stories you've heard if you've been here with us all these years. But this one is such a great deliverance, and it involves that Navajo medicine man who was up in his 90s, and his wife came to our church there faithfully. He didn't want us to be there. He thought we were just bringing in white man's religion, and I never saw it happen, but the people there that we lived with said he would ride his horse around that church trying to do witchcraft against it so it would not survive. And if you remember the account, this was after we had been there a number of years, that's very great tragedy in their family with his, to think would have been great, grandchildren. exactly a week apart, all three incidents. I can't remember the order of them now, but one was teenage boy in our youth group there. He had got a 22 for Christmas, a used one, was up at the dump on the top of the hill in the valley. We lived in the valley, and he was shooting crows, big ones, with that. And out of nowhere came two pit bulls, didn't bark or anything, jumped him, mauled him, this arm and one of his legs. They had to do skin grafts to repair the damage before help came. He lived, but he went through a lot of suffering. The very next Friday to the day, another of his upper teenage grandsons, who did not come to our church, great-grandsons, was run over going across the highway that was just out a mile out from where we all lived. Run over, had been partying, trying to run across the highway, got run over by a truck. The week later, we'll just say Fridays, they all happened exactly that far apart. The little baby, great-grandson, was out with his mom at the jewelry stand by the Grand Canyon. You that have been there, you've seen those stands. She was cleaning up her beads and stuff for the day. He's just a toddler, 13 months old, just starting to walk. Had walked off behind the vehicle next to the next standover. The mom was busy doing this and wasn't watching. The guy beside got in his truck, backs away, and the little guy was run over. And that tragic things. So that next week, or whatever it was later, I said to the grandma from our church, let's have a prayer meeting at your house. Something is going on here. Instead of having Wednesday night church, we're all coming to your house if that's okay. Yes, yes, please. So we come, we're there. Here's the grandpa, the medicine man, well in his 90s. He's sitting there in the living room too. And I thought, surely when we start praying, he was going to get up and go. And he didn't. And we prayed, I bet for an hour we sang and we prayed. And in the prayer time, every so often I'd sort of open one of my eyes to see what he was doing. And he was just staring at me the whole time. Anytime I opened my eyes, he was staring right at me. Hey, I was thinking, oh, Lord. So when we're done, he stands up and starts speaking in Navajo and telling of this fire that goes around in his body and causes him such great pain and discomfort. And would we pray for him? You never know what God's going to do. Well, yes, yes. And so we gather around him. I put my hands on his head, I'm sure, and praying for him, asking for God's healing touch to this man. And when I thought I was done praying, and this is the only time I've ever had this happen in my life, I go to take my hands off, but they would not come off. I don't know how to explain it anywhere else. It was just God was saying, no, in other words, you are not done praying for this man. So, okay, what do you do? Well, you keep praying, right? And finally, we're done. He stands up, gets the biggest smile on his face, and starts saying, just in Navajo, it's gone, it's all gone, the pain is gone, and we're all rejoicing like men who dreamed, because this man had, who would have ever thought that he would come to know the Lord at that age after all his life. And he said, you tell that man, me, points to me, I'm coming over there Sunday morning to church and you can do some more of your ceremonies on me. Because that's all he knew. He prayed for people for healing in his way. And you know, he came and received the Lord and he lived to over 100 before he went to heaven. That was after we moved up to Timber Lake when he went to heaven. So, I know that's sort of a longer story, but wow, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, that's part of salvation too that took place. It was incredible and we all rejoiced. Second, what are the results of God's deliverance? Second, it is a testimony to the world. When God moves, it is a testimony to the world. And this man and his deliverance, this Navajo medicine man and his salvation was a testimony to that entire community. They all knew. They all knew because he gave his pouch away to somebody else. He said, I'm done. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to serve the Lord and worship him only. I didn't tell him to give that pouch away. That was the work of the Holy Spirit of God, who he had met and encountered. 126, the last half of 2, it says, then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. See, the people saw it with Israel going back into the promised land. They saw it and they said, wow, the Lord has done great things for Israel. The heathen nations saw the hand of God moving. And they said, yes, the Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. They knew, see, the Babylonian Empire there was the world power at that time. They didn't let people they had conquered go back to their homeland. They didn't do it. But you know what Ezra chapter 1 verse 1 says? When Cyrus, king of Persia, came into power in the first year of his reign, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it into writing, and the rest of it goes on, that they could go back to rebuild the temple and their city that had been destroyed. 70 years later, an ungodly king who cared nothing about the God of the Bible, God moves on his heart to send them back there with provision. With provision. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we get discouraged at things we see going on around us. And I do. And I always have to remind myself, God, you are on the throne. And your plan is going to work in your time. It's going to come to pass. It is. This was such a great deliverance. And they saw it. Third, what's the third result of God's deliverance? Their fortunes were restored. Fortunes restored. Verse 4. It's really a prayer. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. The Negev, that's the southern part of Israel, very arid, dry desert. Dead Sea is down there. Nothing grows too much. But when it rains, it comes to life. Those of you that winter in Arizona, if you've ever lived there in the desert, you see it happen. I remember one time this winter, I called Willard and Darlene, and they had rain in abundance, and she said, and everything is coming to life. The flowers are blooming. The cactuses are blooming. It is beautiful. God restored life, right? So they're praying. That's what this prayer is. Restore life to our homeland. See, what had they left? The prophecy of Jeremiah said this whole country, Israel, will become a desolate wasteland. And it did. When Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, came in and took them captives, they destroyed everything. The temple, the city walls, burned what could be burned, destroyed it all. And there it sat for 70 years. You know what that's going to look like, right? We see stuff around here that sits for 50 years, 60 years, whatever, falling apart. Has to be rebuilt. Restore those. Yes, but restore our fortunes. A lot of times our thoughts go, what? Naturally, right? Restore our fortunes, O Lord. Yes, we need to prosper again financially. We need to prosper. But you know what? The first thought needs to be spiritually. See, because why had they been carried off to Israel again? Because of their rebellion and disobedience. If there was not going to be a change in their hearts to God and His Word when they went back, same thing was going to happen all over again. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, should number one be spiritually in their lives. And there was that remnant. And they were excited as they went back to rebuild the temple and start worshiping there as God had instructed them in the Old Testament. The wealth, we all know that's not the answer in and of itself. What, we're just hammered with the news every day, aren't we, for the last week of this man, Jeffrey Epstein. Multi-millionaire. Hung himself, supposedly, in his jail cell on the 10th. That was a week ago yesterday. I Googled just to see the properties. You know, they talk some about it. They've been saying, I thought on the news, that he owned one private island in the Caribbean. Which, imagine that. Where I Googled, it says he actually owned two. Two private islands, okay, in the Caribbean. His mansion in Upper New York, a Zorro Ranch, it's called, in New Mexico, that is 7,500 acres. And his mansion on that ranch is 26,700 square feet. And then he's got a home in Palm Beach, where several million had. And was that the answer? Oh my gosh. For what he has done, accused of doing. He reminds me of the rich man and Lazarus that we read about in Luke 16, verse 19, who fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar, remember, that sat at his gate. And what did he do? He'd feed him with the crumbs and the scraps off the table. And when he died, the rich man, he found himself in hell. And this poor beggar, Lazarus, found himself in heaven, Abraham's bosom. It's not just about the fortunes of money. It's about spiritually, number one, our walk with the Lord is number one above all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto us. Restore our fortunes. And then he goes on as we finish up verse 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. You can know that when they were hauled off to Babylon, their tears had to be great. The punishment was cruel. The cruel taskmasters that they would have been. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. The sheaves are the harvest, aren't they? So right away, yes, we think naturally. And as difficult as this year has been of trying to sow the seed naturally and try this and it doesn't work, and we try this and it doesn't work, and this and this and but you know what? God is faithful. But beyond the natural side of this, what is the seed? It is God's word. And as we have concern for the lost, weeping over those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it should cause us great concern if we see some who is lost. I think of it as we go through the winter and the calving season, and I hear the stories of the extremes, measures at times that you go through to save those calves who are born in the water, the mud, the ice, and you rescue them, and you bring them inside, and you bottle feed them, and on, and if they won't, the mom won't take them, if there's another dead one, you skin that one and put that hide on this one, then it's incredible. And I am amazed, I am truly, truly amazed at the lengths that you go to, which is wonderful. I am not knocking it at all. It's wonderful. And I guess what I want to say is, would we go to the extremes of reaching out to someone who we know most likely does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior? Because that is a living, breathing being, a soul, as we need to plant seeds. One commentary I read, it says, winners of souls are first weepers for souls. Prayer, praying for them. That's the first part, a huge part. If you got a neighbor, a family member who doesn't know the Lord, pray for them. There's places when I'm driving around, usually it's by myself, sometimes it's with Ann. There's a place I drive by on the way to Sioux Falls often, and many times I reach my hand out, and I pray. I say, Father, I pray for that. I know the name. Pray for that individual, Lord. Bring them back to you. Bring them back to church, a desire to worship you, Father, whatever it is. And on the prayer goes. Letting the Holy Spirit work. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy, because there's no greater joy than seeing someone come to know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. That is the greatest joy of all. I remember, just real quick here, my trial sermon, still got it in my notes, January 18th, 2004. Preached the message that day. Afterwards, there was a time of questions and answers, which is typical. And someone who is here today asked me, Pastor Mike, I don't know if I have it exact, but it was something like this. What would you say brings you the greatest joy in ministry? And I said, what brings me the greatest joy is being able to lead someone to salvation in Jesus Christ. That brings such joy. Oh, there's nothing like it. And beyond that is to see us growing together in Christ, bringing in the sheaves, rejoicing. So results of God's deliverance are those: rejoicing, a testimony to the world, and our fortunes restored. Yes, it can be naturally, but it also needs to be spiritually. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've seen your deliverance in our own lives many times over. Wow, as your word says, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. I realize, Lord, that in many situations right now, there's tears. A seed is being sown naturally. There are tears of how is this ever going to work. But Lord, I also know who you are, and that somehow, some way, you're going to turn it around for rejoicing. And Lord, let us be convicted for those we know who are lost, who need to know Jesus. And speak to our hearts of what we can do to reach out to them. I thank you for each one of us here today. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Victory in Jesus. The closing hymn. Let's stand together as we sing this one. 353.